Welcome to Shir 44, and we are discussing the Heter HaMechira and its halachic problems. We've already discussed four difficulties in our past Shirim, and these included Shemitah being rabbinic, Shemitah being a pious custom, if the soil retains its sanctity after being sold, and finally, the argument over the proper Shemitah year. So the next issue that we're going to discuss is the prohibition in Devarim 7:2, where the Torah forbids us from selling land. And the question is, to whom does this prohibition refer to? So we're going to get back to the Psukim in the beginning of Devarim 7 momentarily. But let's go now to the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah, which says as follows. One should not make jewelry for an idol, such as necklaces, earrings, or finger rings. Rabbi Eliezer says, for payment it is permitted. One should not sell to idolaters a thing which is attached to the soil, but when severed it may be sold. Rabbi Yehuda says, one may sell it on condition that it will be severed. So to understand the way that the Gemara explains this Mishnah, we're going to see the Pesukim, and first we're going to read Shemos 23:32 and 33. Do not make a treaty with these nations or with their gods. Do not allow them to reside in your land, since they may then make you sin to me. You may even end up worshipping their gods, and it will be a fatal trap to you. And now we're going to see the first six psukim in Devarim 7. The Torah tells us, when God your Lord brings you to the land that you are entering, so that you can occupy it, he will uproot many nations before you, the Chittim, the Girgashim, Amorim, Canaanim, Prizim, Chivim, Yevusim, seven nations more numerous and powerful than you are. When God your Lord places them at your disposal and you defeat them, you must utterly destroy them, not making any treaty with them or giving them any consideration. Do not intermarry with them. Do not give your daughters to their sons, and do not take their daughters for your sons. If you do, they will lead your children away from me, causing them to worship other gods. God will then display his anger against you, and you will quickly be destroyed. What you must do to them is tear down their altars, break their sacred pillars, cut down their Asherah trees, and burn their idols in fire. You are a nation consecrated to God your Lord. God your Lord chose you to be his special people among all the nations on the face of the earth. How should we understand these psukim? If we look at the background of these psukim, war was declared on the Canaanite nations due to their savage cruelty, licentious, and cult-like behaviors. They were steeped in immorality and crime, and intimate contact between the Canaanite nations and the Bnei Yisrael was to be avoided to prevent us from becoming influenced by their depraved way of life. Their way of life was in utter contrast to the ideal of human dignity and holiness, which is the aim of the Torah, and this is an ideal which the Bnei Yisrael are supposed to realize not only for ourselves, but for the moral destiny of all mankind. Idol worship and immorality are at the root of contempt and cheapening of human life. This was shown by the Canaanite nations, and again in modern nations, especially in totalitarian states that we see today. The Torah's command is not the destruction of life, but rather the uprooting of their evil ways, and therefore the Canaanite nations had the choice to abandon their evil practices and accept the Noahide laws. So if they would do this, they would be spared. We always come to proclaim peace to nations, and this is a Torah commandment. The Rambam writes that Yehoshua sent three letters to the Canaanite nations. In the first, he said that whoever would like to flee may do so. In the second, he said, whoever would like to accept peace may do so. And in the third, he said, anyone who would like to engage in war may do so as well. Based on the psukim that we have quoted, the Gemara learns the following prohibitions. Number one, we are not to allow idolatrous nations to settle in Eretz Yisrael. Number two, we are not allowed to praise idolatrous nations. And number three, we are not allowed to give a free gift to an idolatrous nation. In our discussion, we are clearly concerned with item number one, not allowing idolatrous nations to settle in Eretz Yisrael. Those that support the Heter Mechira, which involves selling the land to an Arab for 2 years, maintain that this prohibition is never infringed as the followers of Muhammad are not idol worshippers. And the opponents of the Heter Mechira, they don't deny this, but they have a different issue that they deal with. They say that while this is correct, one may only sell the land to a Ger Toshav. A Ger Toshav is one who observes the seven mitzvos, and Arabs could certainly be included in this, if not for the fact that today there is no such thing as a halachic Ger Toshav, and this is because Yovel does not exist. So no Yovel means no Ger Toshav, so says the Rambam. Now the Ravid argues with the Rambam regarding living in Eretz Yisrael, and the Kesef Mishnah states that the Rambam would agree to this, since the whole point of the mitzvah is that we should not worship their gods. Therefore, Ger Toshav could apply regarding the land. And Rav Kook went further, based on the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, to say that if a non-Jew keeps the seven mitzvahs, he's automatically considered a Ger Toshav, with some exception. And furthermore, if a whole nation keeps these laws, we assume that the whole nation has the status of a Ger Toshav. Now, the Ravid is dealing with settling in the land. Rav Kook says that it also applies to selling a plot of land to a non-Jew, assuming that he keeps the Sheva Mitzvos, and the fear that the Torah mentions of foreign idols will not become an issue. Now, as you can imagine, not everyone accepts this view. The Ritbaz in 1909 was opposed to this, as well as the Netziv in 1894. Now, the Netziv, he goes ahead and he refutes all of these arguments. He says that Arabs are not in the category of Ger Toshav, and it is a biblical infringement to sell the land to them. So obviously, if one follows the Netziv's approach, there is no such thing as a Heter Mechira. Now, it's also important to keep in mind that Shemitah, according to most, is rabbinic today, while selling the land, at least according to the Netziv, is biblical. And the Netziv explains this with a simile. He says that proponents of the Heter are fleeing from a wolf, in other words, Shemitah being rabbinic, and running into the claws of a lion, in other words, the biblical injunction against selling the land. The Netziv understands the Taz that we quoted earlier in a different manner, as well as the Rambam and the Ravid, and we're going to skip all the details of how he understands these commentators. Now, the Chazon Ish follows the Netziv, and he holds that selling the land to a non-Jew, in the absence of Yovel and all the requirements of Ger Toshav, is a biblical prohibition. But the Chazon Ish goes even further than the Netziv, and he holds that any such sale by the rabbinate is invalid, since we have a rule of Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera. However, Tzvi Pesach Frank and others dispute this, since the rabbinate holds of the Heter Mechira, the rule of Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera actually never comes into effect. So in summary, we have three views regarding the sale of the land. One is that it applies only to the seven Canaanite nations. Two is that it applies to idol worshippers. And three, it applies to all non-Jews. Now, if you hold that it only applies to idol worshippers, like many Rishonim discuss, we could exclude Arabs, at least those that follow Muhammad. Others say that in the absence of the requirements of Ger Toshav, I can't sell land to any non-Jew at all. Now, another great difficulty, which we're not really going to get into, is that the Christian censors have messed around with our terminology, and we're not always sure what Akum means, and that original printings used one term for non-Jews, either Nachri, Goy, or Kusi, always referring to Muslims and Christians, and for idol worshippers, they always use the term Oved Avodah Zarah or other such similar terms. Now, in our literature, almost every mention of non-Jews is just Akum, straight away, and therefore, unfortunately, we lack clarity as to when we apply certain rules to idol worshippers versus the rest of the population. Now, there's tons more detail on this topic, so if you look in Dan Gronfeld's book, he deals with this extensively, and I wonder if over the last 40 years or so that there may have been more discoveries in old manuscripts to help clarify these difficulties. Now, coming back to our point, the sale of the land through the Heter Mechira is temporary. Those that support the Heter are of the opinion that a temporary sale is a true sale. The purchaser, you see, has many rights, and the sale will therefore cancel the sanctity of Shemitah. But such a sale does not trespass the biblical lo sichanim, since there is no permanence involved in this sale. So just to finish explaining the position of the heter, so we're going to read Diane Grunfeld's words quoting the Adaret. The main point in connection with the prohibition of Lo Sechanim is that the Holy Land should be and remain in Jewish hands, and if we are too strict with the law, we shall defeat its object, and Eretz Yisrael will, God forbid, not be ours. That's the end of the quote. What matters, Diane Grunfeld continues, is not the legal form of the sale, but whether or not it causes a settlement of a non-Jew in Eretz Yisrael and thus diminishes the hold our people have on the Holy Land. This argument is valid not only for those who side with the view of Nachmanides that the redemption of the land is a positive commandment, but also for those who disagree with him. So this ends Shir 44 on difficulties with selling the land. And next time, we're going to continue to examine more difficulties with the Heter Mechira. And I just want to stress that on this topic, we've really skipped many of the details. And the purpose of these lectures is really to give us an understanding of some of the issues involved. And you could take this knowledge and do some more research into these topics.